Good morning and welcome to the KRFY Morning Show. This is Julie Calamine, one of the many morning show hosts here at KRFY, and I want to welcome you listeners once again. It's another great week, springtime here in Sandpoint. Before I introduce our guest, a really exciting one, I'm going to give us a quick weather report. And folks, spring has arrived in Sandpoint. Today we've got high 79, a slight chance of showers, and then a possibility of some heavy rain tonight, 50% chance of that, so that's spring-like weather as well. It's looking this way throughout the whole week, so I won't get too complicated or in-depth, but it's high in the high 70s, low 80s. Chances of rain through Wednesday into Thursday, and then Thursday looks pretty sunny, and then Friday we're going to have sunny, high near 89, and guess what, folks? It could go over 90 on Saturday, so it's both spring and summer combined, I would say. Well, that's good news for our guest, because in the summertime is when we clean up trails and we get out and hike. Welcome, Tom Dabrowski of Idaho Trails Association.
Why, thank you, Julie. It's great to be here.
It's really good to have you. Tom, of course, you are no new guest to KRFY, and you've filled us in on what's happening with Idaho Trails a number of times. We try to get you on our show a time or two every year, but springtime is the best because we get to hear about what's going on with Idaho Trails, what everybody's doing, all the cleanup that we do to make the trails nice for folks that want to get out and hike, and what it takes to do that. So, Tom, let's have you start by telling us just a little bit about yourself for those who haven't heard you before, and how you got involved with Idaho Trails.
Why, sure. I got involved because some fellow named Phil Huff hoodwinked me into working on a trail years ago.
Phil should really be here this morning to, accept responsibility.
Hopefully he's listening. So when I say kind things about him, he'll know I was nice.
Yes.
In any case, I got involved on a single trail project and realized after spending so much of my life hiking and climbing and recreating on our public lands, it was time to give back. And so I started working on trails, got involved with the Idaho Trails Association. Interesting organization. It was started 13 years ago now, in 2010, by some really smart people, including Phil and Brad Smith here locally, and a number of people in Boise, some folks in Moscow, Idaho. And they modeled IT after the Washington Trails Association, which is 55 years old now.
Yes. You were a pretty small group at the beginning. Not many folks in your group.
Well, we had a whole resounding 20 volunteers that went out and did a trail project. And just to give you perspective on that, last year we had 750 volunteers go out and work on 63 trail projects. And so when I got involved, I loved working on the trails, meeting the really neat people that came out to volunteer, and I was asked to be part of the board of directors and then asked to be president, and stayed doing that for 6 years to help ITA grow. And so we've been able to successfully grow. I've now let someone else take over as president of the board.
Yes, Tim Martin.
Tim Martin, a wonderful fellow. And Tim has a great skill set for where we are in Idaho Trails Association now. It's time for us to build more infrastructure so that we can continue to do trail projects safely and do them efficiently as we continue to grow. So it's been a whole lot of fun. I was trained or educated as a nuclear physicist. And people, when I go out and work on trails and I'm helping to teach them how to do it, they, oh, have you worked for the Forest Service? And I said, no. And I said, I'm living proof that anyone can come out and work on a trail.
Tom, that's like being a volunteer at the radio station. I'd never said a word on the radio, and look at me now. So
yes.
Volunteering brings together strange bedfellows, and we all figure out how to do things.
Yes, and what you also do is meet a lot of new friends. One of the most wonderful things about ITA is the people. In the years that I've been involved with ITA, I've made so many new friends, people that I would have never met before, and get to live with them out in the wilderness as we're working on trails. So it's been a huge amount of fun, and I'm glad I can continue to do it.
It's good to hear, with a new knee and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Tom, the mission of ITA, has it changed over the years? Is it still the same mission?
It's basically the same mission, and that's to keep Idaho's hiking trails open for all. And this has been a huge challenge. Many people don't realize how blessed we are here in Idaho on our public lands. We have 10,000 miles. That's a huge number, 10,000 miles of non-motorized hiking trails.
It's more than a lifetime of trails to walk, for me anyway.
Absolutely.
Right.
And the reason that it's been a challenge with motorized trails, there is money available to work on those trails. The motorized folks years ago said, okay, we'll agree to have our equipment licensed as off-road vehicles, but in return for that, we want part of those licensing fees to go back to maintaining the trails. A really wise decision. Well, hiking is free. You can go park at the trailhead. You can hike on the trail. Doesn't cost you anything. And so there's no money from the state, generally, to work on non-motorized trails. And so Idaho Trails Association came along and said, hey, we can help. The U.S. Forest Service has done a great job of maintaining as many of those 10,000 miles as they can, but they've had limited budgets. They've had limited resources. And back in 2016, the Congress recognized that there just wasn't enough money in the federal budget to maintain all of those trails, so they directed the Forest Service to use more volunteers. Well, we were already there volunteering, and so now they're asking us to do more than we can in a year. But nice challenge to have.
Yes, and I've worked with listeners who don't know, of course, I'm a volunteer with Idaho Trails Association, and I've worked with the Forest Service on trips, and then just with Idaho Trails folks, and both are great trips, but the Forest Service folks are so supportive.
Mm-hmm.
They really are nice to us.
They're very valuable. In fact, we just did a project this past weekend over on Priest Lake on the Lakeshore Trail, and when we talked to the Forest Service contact yesterday, he made a point of saying several times, we really appreciate what you guys do. So it's a win-win. We help, they like to have us help, and we get out and get exercise, make new friends, and see beautiful country.
Yes. Now, something that comes up when I talk with my friends who volunteer for Idaho Trails Association is that our group doesn't use anything with a gas motor, and that's still the case. Tell us about that.
That was a decision made early on, made originally back when the group was formed in 2010. And the idea behind that was on trails that are in wilderness areas, you cannot use motorized equipment. It's prohibited in a wilderness area. All part of the Wilderness Act that said, look, let's have places that have not been impacted by human beings. Let's have places that are quiet. Let's have places that smell natural. And so you can't use motorized equipment there. And so when we were formed, we said, we're going to be doing a lot of work in wilderness areas, so let's teach people how to use traditional tools. And the primary tool that we use for cutting out trees are crosscut saws. And I have some older relatives that call that a misery whip. And they say, why are you using those things? We actually have a huge amount of fun with those. And it's really interesting to watch people that have never used a crosscut saw. We can teach them how to do it in a half an hour, and they can become a pretty good sawyer. So just to give you an idea, last year we cut out over 4,000 trees using crosscut saws. And when we have to pack that equipment way back into the backcountry, I'd rather carry a crosscut saw than a chainsaw and a whole bunch of gas. So it's worked very well for us. It's a draw. People like to do it. And in fact, if any of your listeners have older crosscut saws or any crosscut saw that's been in the family and they would like to donate it to ITA, we'd love to have them. We need more saws. We have quite a few, but we need more because as we continue to grow, we'll need more of that kind of equipment. So if you have a crosscut saw, please get in touch with us and we'll give you a slip showing your donation and what we estimate the value to be.
And I bet we could use some more sawyers. So if you have one of those saws and you know how to use it, that might be good too.
Yeah, and if you don't know how to use it, we'll teach you in short order.
There you go.
It's relatively simple to learn.
Well, we're talking about the growth of the organization, Tom, and it has grown a ton. And so tell us about what that means. More employees, more trips available, a lot more organization required.
Oh, absolutely. It's become a real challenge to manage all of this. As I said, the first year, back in 2010, we did two projects. Last year, we did 63. This year, we've got over 80 projects. And so to manage all of that, we have a lady by the name of Melanie Vining, who's our executive director, a paid full-time employee. Melanie was a smoke jumper. She was a trail worker for the Forest Service. She was a school teacher. She was a hydrologist for the Forest Service. And now we were able to capture her and convince her to come to work for ITA as our executive director. And she's just done a fantastic job. We also have a lady by the name of Kelly Hughes who does our outreach and communication. This is how we go and try and find additional people to come and volunteer on projects. Kelly's doing a heck of a job. We went from the first year we had less than 20 members. We now have over 850 members in the Idaho Trails Association. And part of Kelly's job is to advertise, promote, let people know about what we're doing, which projects we have. And then finally, Alex Kravener and Alexandra. Alex is our Trails Project Director. She's the one that coordinates all of these projects. I was just on the phone with Alex as I drove in this morning talking about a project we're going to do up here in August. She's the one that makes sure all the tools and the equipment and I'll talk in a bit about what kinds of projects we do, but lots of stuff has to be in the right place at the right time.
Yes.
And so that's what Alex does.
And there's some driving involved, I would think.
Oh, yeah, we have to drive from one end of the state to the other.
Yes. Well, the staff is all women. That speaks well, at least in my opinion, of the organization. Women working on trails, and that leads me to ask you about some of the unique opportunities in trails. We'll cover a lot of the trail projects, but let's start by talking about some of the kind of unique and interesting one. And one is women-only weekends.
What we found is that, and one of the things that I've been really proud of is that we don't pick people based on gender. We pick them based on their quality and their capabilities and their experience. And we have a lady on our board by the name of Pam Bond, who's just a really wonderful person, very active volunteer with ITA. And years ago, she said, you know, I go on these trail projects and some big husky guy comes up and says, well, let me move that for you, as if you're just not able to lift this log. And I can tell you that Pam's hackles raised when that happens. And so she came to the board and said, hey, how about if we have women-only projects for a while so we can get more women involved in working on these projects? So we have what we call our WOW projects, which stand for Women-Only Weekends or Women-Only in the Wilderness. And they've been hugely successful. So this year we have a number of those projects again, and we'll be all around the state, and they always fill up. I have a really great video I love to watch of one of our WOW projects, and one of the women with a sort of a silly grin on her face, says, "I love throwing stuff off the trail." That's all. Right. So those have been very successful.
Yes, and I've been on several, and they really are fun. And what I hear again and again is that it's a great opportunity to learn skills and do things because, you know, women, whether they're single women or married women, often the guys do like to help us, and it's very kind of them, but it sometimes prevents us from learning how to do things.
Right.
And that doesn't happen on the women-only weekends.
Absolutely not.
No.
And then that's another thing we emphasize when we're off doing projects, co-ed projects, that everybody gets a chance to do whatever they'd like to try, and then we help to teach them how to do it efficiently and safely and that sort of thing. You asked about other kinds of special projects. We have youth projects. That's one of the things that I'm proudest of the time that I was president of the board of IETA is we started youth projects about 4 years ago, 5 years ago now, and with a grant. A single grant, went and had a youth project, and a 14-year-old young lady who was on that project wrote us a letter and said, "You changed my life forever." She had no idea what our public lands were like. She had no idea the beauty of the backcountry here in Idaho, and no idea of the work it took to keep those trails open. And she continues to volunteer on projects and continues to use our public lands. Ever since then, we've multiple youth projects. I believe we have 8 youth projects scheduled for 2023. In 2022, we had another young lady say that you've created memories for me that I'll have the rest of my life. And just to see our youth respond to our public lands and not only the beauty of the public lands, but the responsibility that goes along with it. And we believe that if we can train people how to recreate responsibly on our public lands, it will be better for those lands. I can tell you, Julie, that we've had some really serious damage done to our public lands. Mm-hmm. The whole thing with COVID led to a huge increase in people coming and hiking in Idaho's backcountry. And it's been amazing the damage that's been done. People cutting switchbacks on trails. The disgusting thing that's happened is people just poop in the woods on the top of the ground and leave the toilet paper there. It's a huge problem. So we try to train people how to do it correctly.
Yes, more of a leave no trace. And Tom, that's the trails have this problem, but our state parks have had the problem, and the federal parks, the national parks. It's sort of an endemic problem, really.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yes, some education in order to help folks understand how to take care of the outdoors when they're in it makes a big difference.
Absolutely. So we train people, adults like you and I, and we hope for a good outcome. But we're also training the youth, because if we can get the younger people, they will also tell us older people, don't poop on the ground, dig a hole, and pack out your toilet paper.
There you go. Well, if we learn nothing else today, that's a great thing to know that we need to be doing. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, there are the youth trips. We've talked about the women-only weekends and women in the wilderness week trips, the youth trips. But there are some very interesting trips that happen in categories. We all have things like fly-in trips. There's been a boat-in trip for the board. And I want to get into individual trips. But are there any other unique types of trips? Or let's even just talk about the ways that you can go on a work trip. It's not, sometimes it's just for a day, sometimes it's for a week, and how you get there can vary quite a bit.
Yeah, well, let's just talk about the basic kinds of trips we do. First, we start with one-day trips, one-day local trips. So, like, for example, here in Sandpoint, on June 3rd, which is National Trails Day, we'll do the Mikinik Trail right here in Sandpoint, Idaho. So it's easy to get to, and not a long drive, and we'll go and we'll clear out the trail, we'll saw out any logs, we'll fix drainage issues. We'll cut back the brush. That's a hugely popular trail. We do it every year. And so those one-day trips are an opportunity for brand new people to come out and try it. We've already had two projects like that, one at the end of April, the other the first weekend in May, one at Higgins Point on the Coeur d'Alene, Lake Coeur d'Alene, and then the other at English Point right by Hayden Lake. Again, with brand new people on a one day to come out, we'll train people how to do the work, how to do it correctly, how to do it safely, and then they can try it out.
Yes, and you can come bring your own sandwich and get home by dinner time.
It's exactly.
A nice way to get started.
Yeah, and then people can try it and see, oh, this trail work sounds, you know, like fun, and I might enjoy doing that. The thing we find is what really gets people are the other people they meet, and they get to talk with other people and share stories and that kind of thing. So then once you've done the one-dayer, then we'll have a weekend trip. Some weekend trips are to drive in with your car and camp at a campsite near the trailhead. Some others will have a short backpack where we'll backpack into an area. And then you'll work on the trail. Then we have week-long trips. Week-long trips come in two flavors. The first flavor is what we call fully supported. Fully supported means that you sign up, and I'll tell everybody how to do that here in a moment. You sign up, and we provide somebody to haul all your gear in to wherever you're going to be camping. And these are backcountry trips. And we provide a cook, and we provide all the food, and we ask for a $50 deposit. And so you get food and a cook for a week for $50.
And your gear hauled into the site, which
exactly.
is a big plus.
Exactly. And so those fully supported trips are very popular. Then we have backpacking trips where you haul in all your own gear, you bring your own food, do your own cooking. Those are generally in the most remote areas. And so now a variation on those week-long trips. Sometimes you'll drive your car to the trailhead and you'll hike in and get your stuff packed in. You always walk in. The other way is you get to a river and we'll have a jet boat haul you up the river to wherever you're going to be working or beginning your hike. Or we even have fly-in trips. Because, for example, the Frank Church Wilderness, there's a number of backcountry airstrips. And so I can tell you that you can't get an airplane ride into the Frank Church for $50 anywhere else.
It's pretty amazing.
It is pretty amazing. Now, somebody might be saying, how do they pay for that? We get a lot of donations from our members. We get donations from foundations. We get corporate donations from various companies. And we get some federal money to help pay for some of that transportation and some of our staff time as we plan all these projects. So anyway, those are the basic kinds of projects.
Wow, there's a lot to cover. And the level of maybe physical strength or skill varies for those trips too.
Absolutely.
Some are strenuous, some are more middle, and some are for people that are just maybe getting going on trail work.
So exactly. And we provide a continuum, a full range of those things. When you go to our website, which by the way is Idaho Trails, plural, idahotrailsassociation.org. When you go to the website, it will pop up some pretty pictures and some links. And one of them is to volunteer, go to that. And you can click on schedule, and you'll see a map of all the projects. And I'll tell you right now, we have 82 projects on the schedule. The map is very busy.
It is. And many are full, not all.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So you scroll down, and then you can read the description. In the description, it'll tell you where it is. It'll frequently give you a map. It'll give you some information from other people that have been there. And then finally, it will tell you about difficulty. Gives you two difficult ratings. One, it gives you a rating on the hike in and out. How difficult is it? And then a difficulty rating on the work. So, for example, if you're going to go in and build a new bridge with all the material there, that's relatively low work. But it might be that you have to hike in 10 miles and 3,000 feet of elevation change. That would be a difficult hike. So you can see the difficulty ratings on the hike in and the work.
Yeah, very helpful. I like that. Well, I think it's about time for a song break, and we'll come back and maybe just talk about some of the really interesting trips, as many as we have time for.
Sounds good.
All right. Well, those of you who are listening, this is KRFY, listener-supported community radio for the Idaho Panhandle. I'm Julie Calamine, one of your morning show hosts, and I'm joined this morning by Tom Dabrowski, who is a board member and past president of Idaho Trails Association. We're having a great talk about the organization, everything that's been happening, all the growth, and all the trips. One thing I would like to mention before we go to the song break is that, listeners, tonight, if you're up past 8, which I hope to be, we do have one of our little live radio hours tonight. That happens at the Little Panada, and we'll be joined by Bridges Home. So that's going to be fun. If you're home or if you're out and about in your car, please tune in around 8, and you'll get to hear some live music here at KRFY. Now, off to a song break, and then back to talk about some interesting trips coming up. I selected the Nitty Gritty Dirt Band with My Walkin' Shoes. Enjoy. And that was the Nitty Gritty Dirt Band with My Walkin' Shoes. What a perfect song for today. My walkin' shoes really wear out. Listeners, this is KRFY, listener-supported radio for the Idaho Panhandle. I am Julie Calamine, and I'm joined here with Tom Dabrowski, board member, past president, and volunteer with Idaho Trails Association. Hello again, Tom.
Hello, Julie.
And we're going to come back and start talking about some of the individual trips. There are a lot of interesting ones. So I say to you, take it away, Tom.
Okay. Well, thank you. Well, we already started our schedule for the year. What happens is we put this thing together beginning in the fall. We work with the Forest Service, other land managers. We work with our volunteers, work with the public, find out which trails need to be done. And all of that gets put together so the 1st of March, the schedule comes out. And on that schedule, as we talked about earlier, there's some easy one-day projects and there's some long seven-day projects. This year we have a really two unique projects. One is a 10-day wilderness project, and the other is a special thing we call wilderness immersion, where we're going to fly a crew in to the Frank Church Wilderness in central Idaho, and they're going to stay there for 3 weeks. We're going to work on a 30-mile loop of trails in probably the most remote part of the Frank Church Wilderness, and the whole concept behind that is that not many people get to live in the wilderness for 3 weeks. And so we had a huge number of people sign up for that, and we've got a crew together, and we're in the process of planning food for 3 weeks. So, excuse me, that's a very special project new this year. So in any case, the schedule comes out the 1st of March. One of the advantages of being a member of ITA, and you can join for as little as $35, an advantage is you get first choice on signups. So we give members 2 weeks to sign up before members of the public can.
That's a pretty big deal, because those interesting trips will fill up quickly.
Oh, some of them fill up within about 2 minutes. And so this year we started doing something new. We let everybody know what the schedule was 2 weeks before the 1st of March. That way people could look at the schedule, decide, that's one I'd like to sign up for. And then they have time to plan. And so at midnight on the 1st of March, they're ready to click join, sign up. So
yes.
So it made it a little bit better. But
And a little exciting.
Yeah, it is. It's fun. It's like an opening a Christmas gift you've really been wanting for a long time. And so we have that schedule come out the 1st of March. The really popular projects sign up quickly. So as of right now, many of our projects are full. But here's a hot tip. The hot tip is we always have people that have to cancel. For whatever reason, you know, some personal reason. I was talking with a fellow last night that just got COVID, and so he's not going to be able to go on a trip.
And so you're saying it's not like when you make a dental appointment 3 months out and they say they'll call you if there's a cancellation and nobody ever calls? You're saying we could get called.
That's correct.
Good.
So we have a wait list. And,
cool.
And we're very careful about that. We really use the wait list. And so if something says it's full, go ahead and sign up, and we'll put you on the wait list. So anyway, we've already had Higgins Point and English Point, and just this last weekend, the Lakeshore Trail, a two-day project. We had a great time. It was just absolutely beautiful weather. We did a seven-mile trail, cut out 46 logs, and now the trail's open from one end to the other. This coming weekend, we have our crew leader college, which we call CLEM, and I'll talk a little bit later about crew leaders, but we send all of our crew leaders to special training so that we're assured they know how to lead a project, they know how to keep people safe, and more importantly, they know how to help people have fun. And that's what we're all about. We're all about having fun. Then after the crew leader college, we're going to have the Mikinic Trail. I'd mentioned that earlier. That's June 3rd.
Yes, listeners,
trails.
Put it on your calendar if you would like to check out Idaho Trails. That would be the way to get started here in the Panhandle.
Yes, that would be it. And then we have a WOW project on June 17-18 in Boulder Meadows. And that's, again, a women-only project. That's going to be a fun one, really interesting area. The other thing we do in ITA is education. And I had mentioned earlier that our public lands are being abused by too many people. We're trying to educate people and leave no trace. We also do education on how to backpack and how to backpack smarter. And so trying to get people to lighten their packs and all that. So on June 24 and 25, we're going to be working the Navigation Trail, which goes from Priest Lake up to Upper Priest Lake, and that's called our Backpacking 101 Field Trip.
I have a couple of people I'm going to talk to about that if it isn't full already, because I have several people that would like to know a little bit more about how to backpack, and there is their opportunity.
Absolutely. We want to teach people how to do it correctly, to have minimal impact on our public lands, but also how to have more fun, which generally is how to lighten your pack.
Yes, and what a beautiful trail up there between the lakes. That'll be a fun one.
And then June 25 through July 1, that's a week long, we'll be doing the Little North Fork of the Clearwater River. And that's a really beautiful area. And for anyone who likes to fish, that's a really good trip for fishing.
That's true. I can attest to that. I've been on that one, and I will be there, listeners. So if you want to get to know your radio personality, that would be the one to sign up for.
Yep. And then Beehive Lakes on July 8. July 15 through 17, we're going to do B-Top Round Top Trail from the Wellington Creek Road. And if you've never been on Trail 120, which is B-Top Round Top, I think it's the most beautiful trail in northern Idaho. You get up on top, you're 4,000 feet above the lake. When you're near the top of Wellington Creek, you're looking down on Hope and Clark Fork. It is just beautiful. And if we're having a good year for the bear grass blooms, there's huge fields of big open meadow fields of bear grass up there. A beautiful trail, 120.
Tom, how does ITA do it? They rarely pick an ugly trail.
Well, actually, you remember I mentioned that the Forest Service needs our help, and they value our help, and they're asking us to do more than we can do in a year. So we're at a point where we get to pick and choose. And again, we believe that part of our responsibility in ITA is to do quality work for the Forest Service, do it safely, but also do it in a way that people have fun. And when people have fun, they come back. So we have a lot of repeat volunteers. So you're right, Julie. We work hard to make sure that the trails we're doing are fun trails.
Yes, I couldn't agree more.
And then after that, we'll be doing Grouse Mountain, a five-day backpack with the Forest Service. We'll be working with a Forest Service crew up on top of Grouse Mountain and the Grouse Mountain Ridge. Then we'll be down on the Coeur d'Alene River Trail, number 20, at the top of the Coeur d'Alene River for a multi-day car camp out of Jordan Camp. And I think I have a leader for that one. Let's see who was. Oh, it's Julie Calamine.
Yes, actually, I misspoke earlier. That's my trip, Tom, not the one before. So that is mine at Jordan. I've got to pay attention. I'm the host here. I better pay attention.
And August 7 on a Monday, we do a joint effort with the Monday Hikers, a wonderful local group that hikes every Monday. And so they've agreed that one of those Mondays they're going to spend half of the day working on a trail. And they've been working on the Blacktail Lake Trail, which is very brushy. And then the Pend'Oreille Divide, Trail 67, where we'll go from Lunch Peak north. Last year we went up, came in from the north end and worked south. This time we're coming from the south end and working north. By the way, those trails are all part of the Idaho Centennial Trail. And that trail runs all the way from the Nevada border all the way up to American Falls on up north of Upper Priest Lake, just short of the Canadian border. It's about a 900-mile long walk. And the governor decided that the trail needed more work, and so the governor had asked the legislature to put some extra money in for Idaho Centennial Trail work, and they have. So that's why the state is now helping to pay for work on the Idaho Centennial Trail.
That's really good news. Now, if you're a person who loves a long, long view, that might be a trip for you. There's mm-hmm. some great views on that one.
Oh, absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. That is a beautiful, beautiful hike. Then the Hughes Fork Trail, there's a great loop hike over to the west of Priest Lake that goes up Trail 312, which hasn't been open in years, then hits the Shed Roof Divide, goes south, and comes down 311. And it's a really nice loop hike, but it's just not been open because the Forest Service hasn't been able to maintain it as well as they'd like. So we're going to go in and help work on that. And then, excuse me, later in the summer, we're going to go up and work on 311. So we're going to be working in conjunction with the Washington Trails Association. They'll be coming from Washington. We'll be coming from Idaho. Hopefully meet in the middle and get those loops open again.
Yes. And would you describe that one as a bit more remote? I would think
That is quite remote.
Yes.
And it actually goes into the Salmo Priest Wilderness. Just a little odd fact that the Idaho Panhandle National Forests actually go over into Washington State. And a part of the Salmo Priest Wilderness is in the Idaho Panhandle National Forest.
Go figure.
Yes, well, I gave up with that and I decided, okay, it is what it is and we can go work there.
Yes.
Then we're going to do on August 27th through September 2nd, a week long called the Bean Bacon Loop. If you haven't been down on the St. Joe River up above Red Ives, that is a gorgeous area. And we're going to have a week long project down in there to try and open that trail up.
And is that a supported trip?
That is a supported trip.
That's
yes.
Great.
So. Yes, we'll have the pack horses and the cook and the food.
Wonderful. And if you're a fly fisherman, that's one you would want to bring your fly rod along.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And then September 8, 9, and 10, Jackson Creek, that's 311. That's the one where we'll be working on that nice loop. Then we'll be working on the Timber Mountain Trail on September 16. And finally, on September 23rd, which is National Public Lands Day, we're going to go do Chimney Rock from the Pack River side. If you've ever hiked the Chimney Rock Trail, you know that the alder in there, the slide alder, gets really thick and blocks the trail. So we go in there every 2 or 3 years to open that up. So these are just the trails in the Idaho Panhandle National Forest. That's 19, that with the one that we did on Higgins Point for the state, that's 19 projects in the northern area. But we have 82 or 83 projects statewide, and we just don't have time to go through that whole list.
We don't, but there's an easy way for folks to find them. And so why don't you give us that contact info again?
Absolutely. It's Idaho Trails, plural, association.org. Go to the website, click on volunteer, and just follow the prompts.
That's right. And they're all over the state, we've never been to.
Well, that's part of the fun. I mean, I've enjoyed doing this. I'll go sign up for a project that way down in southern Idaho in a place I've never been. So I get to go down there with somebody that knows the area, get to work on the trails, visit with local people, and then find all the hot spots.
It's a great opportunity for folks who like hiking and who would like to start thinking about giving back. I just can't say more about what a great opportunity that is. Well, we've covered the Panhandle projects, Tom, and I think that's good for today. And listeners, you can go online and look at others if you'd like to expand out or sign up for one of the Panhandle projects. But let's go on. Let's move on and just talk about what it takes to be a volunteer. What does a person need to have in the skill set?
A pulse.
A pulse? Oh.
No. To be a volunteer, you don't have to have any particular skills. We'll be happy to teach you whatever it is that you're interested in, whether it's lopping brush or using the crosscut saw or doing tread work with a Pulaski. So we can provide the training. What you need to have is you need to be reasonably fit because you'll have to walk on the trail. You need a bit of equipment. You need long pants, long sleeve shirt. And we wear those even when it's hot because we work through the brush. And I know just on this project we just did, we wound up in some rose bushes, wild rose, and they're pretty, and some blackberries, which are even worse. You'll need hiking boots. We don't want people to be wearing running shoes because we do have sharp tools like Pulaskis. You need some work gloves, some safety glasses, clear safety glasses. If you don't have those, we have plenty of extras, and we'll give you a pair. And we'll also give you a hard hat. If you have your own hard hat, that's great, but we have hard hats to give out. And then the most important thing is to bring a smile, a cheerful attitude, and an understanding that we're here to help our public lands.
And plenty of water.
Yep. You'll bring your lunch and water. Especially right now with the temperature the way it is. What we find is on many of our trails, we'll have streams along the way. So we always bring some water filters that people can use to make more water. But those are the basics. It's mostly about somebody coming out and deciding they're going to have fun and do something worthwhile.
And learn about trail work and maybe find some hiking friends in the process.
That happens a lot.
It sure does. Well, what else is going on, Tom? We've talked about the projects up here, but there is more going on behind the scenes. I think you were going to tell me about some webinars.
There are some webinars. We've done a whole series of them this winter. We did one on Backpacking 101. Then we did a local course here in Sagal, and we did another course down in Boise. And that's what we're doing, the Backpacking 101 field trip that I mentioned here in June 24, 25 on the Navigation Trail. We had webinars on how to pee and poop in the woods. We had webinars on first aid kits. On May 24th, we have a webinar coming up on backpacking food.
Oh, good. That's a good one.
That's a really interesting subject. Lots of people have lots of opinions about food, but what we're going to try to do is talk about information from licensed nutritionists and dietitians and how to pack food that gives you the biggest bang for the buck. And what I mean by that is you can get the most good calories per pound of food you have to carry.
Yes, that's along with your thinking about packing light, making things more fun, an essential part of knowing how to backpack well.
There's one other thing I wanted to mention, and that is we know that some people can't afford all of the gear they need to be able to go into the backcountry. And again, we have the webinars on these. This is the kind of gear you need to carry. And occasionally we'll have somebody that will just say, I really want to go on this trip, but I just don't have a sleeping bag. Or we had a person on one of our projects that didn't anchor their tent. And while they were off working during the day, a big wind came up and blew the tent in the river, and the tent got destroyed. So we have a thing that is called the Splatsky Fund. And the Splatsky Fund was put together in honor of a former member, board member, and a dear friend, John Platt, who passed away very suddenly a year and a half ago. And John was a famous peak bagger and backcountry adventurer here in Idaho. And he had a website called Splatsky. And so we have a donor that has funded a special fund to provide money to people to buy equipment that they need to be able to get in the backcountry safely. So if you go to the website, excuse me, and you have a need for a piece of equipment, you can apply to the Splatsky Fund, and frequently you'll find that we're able to help you buy that piece of equipment. This is, again, to honor John and to also further the mission of getting more people out to work on our trails, but to do it safely and comfortably.
That's a great idea and a great honor, a great memorial to John. That's great. Well, we're coming down to the end of our time together, Tom, and I note at the bottom of my sheet that our executive director, Mel, had asked that we talk about one trip in particular in case there are any listeners out there that might want to sign up for that one. And you maybe know a bit more about it, but it's in the Gospel Hump, Lake Creek. It's a supported trail, mid-August.
That one is, it's interesting that one hasn't gotten any sign-ups yet. That's fairly unique that it doesn't have anything. But what I can tell you about the Gospel Hump, it is the least used wilderness in the state of Idaho. We've worked in there for a week at a time and never seen anybody. And so if you want to get out and have a real wilderness experience, that's the place to go. And so if you have any, it's to the east of Grangeville, excuse me. So it's, you know, sort of north central Idaho, and really pretty area, and very, very seldom visited. And so we work on the trails in there because some areas in the state of Idaho, like the Sawtooths, are totally overrun by people. And so we're trying to work on trails that we can say, hey, instead of going to the Sawtooths with 150 of your best friends, how about going to this other area?
Yes.
And having a nice wilderness experience. So that's what that one's about. So if you have an interest in a week long to a really beautiful remote place, try that one. You won't be disappointed.
Check it out sometime in mid-August. So that sounds like a great time to be there also. Well, Tom, we're going to come to an end here. Tom Dabrowski with Idaho Trails Association. Was there any last comment you'd like to leave with the listeners before I go off to a song?
Well, what I would say is just, again, think about the public lands in Idaho. We're so fortunate that we live here in this beautiful state, and we have these public lands for everyone to recreate on with whatever methods. I mean, motorized recreation in the backcountry is wonderful here. The non-motorized recreation with the 10,000 miles of trails. And if you haven't, get out and experience it, because it's truly remarkable.
Really, Idaho is something else. We're really very lucky to live here.
Let's say, we don't broadcast in California, do we?
No. Oh, okay. No, not that I know of.
All right.
We do live stream. There may be one or two. Well, that's a great way to end a really great interview. And I want to thank you, Tom, and thank Idaho Trails Association for the work that they do. And I hope everyone will get out and take a hike. And after they're done taking a hike, they'll maybe think about helping keeping the hiking trails open. All right, well, we're off to another song, listeners, and I think you'll enjoy this one. It is Greg Brown with Blues Go Walkin'.